The Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy, featuring Sarah Smith and the Snark Factor players. Now, here's Fingers.
So you remember the old Paula Abdul song, Opposites Attract? Well, don't get caught up in the title of the song. The lyric that I want to focus on is where she says, two steps forward, two steps back. In a lot of ways, that describes Nikki Haley's political career. Welcome, it's the Snark Factor. Good morning. This is Wham Talk Radio. I'm Fingers Malloy. And of course, normally Sarah Smith is womaning the news desk, but Sarah has the week off. So filling in for Sarah is our good friend from Red State. She's a Red State contributor and former co-leader, co-president, co-CEO.
Co-founder
of Smart Girl Politics, Terry Kristoff. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Fingers. How are you?
Oh, I just dandy. And I got to tell you, so I feel like you're in the same boat I am in when it comes to Nikki Haley. Not a fan. Not a huge fan.
I'd like to be a fan. I'd like her to give me a reason to be a fan. She has failed to produce the goods on that one. I will say that for sure. What angle in particular is kind of irking you right now about Nikki Haley?
Well, we're going to get into the social media conversation in a second, because she really is channeling her inner authoritarian with this policy. And I don't know. I know a lot of people may not care about this, but the social media story that I'm going to get to in a second. But she's very Mitt Romney to me, and I'm not talking about the politics. I'm not talking about, you know, political stances, Mitt Romney. I feel like she'll do basically anything to get elected and say anything. And it's very, I'm not sure what her core values are, and her hand gestures bother me. I got to tell
you, that's important.
It's very distracting. I feel like she is channeling her, when it's not the authoritarian in her, the George H.W. Bush, thing over there, gonna do that thing. And she's very hand. And if I hear her say something to the effect of speaking as a woman one more time, I think I'm going to take a ball peen hammer and hit myself over the head on several occasions. That kind of stuff gets to me. And I listen. Out of the two of us, you're the female here. So Maybe this speaks to you. And I'm just, because I'm an evil white male, I see the bad part of letting everyone know for the 5,000th time, as if we couldn't tell by looking at her or hearing the sound of her voice, that she is speaking as a woman. So does this bother you?
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot about her bothers me. And like I said, I would like a reason to like and support her, but I'm yet to finding what that is. And I think when you're talking about gestures and these policy positions she seems to take, I think she feels the need constantly to separate herself from the pack. She wants to, you know, and I do think she thinks, as a woman, I need to separate myself. The hand gestures are to, you know, get the contention, the visual attention onto her, especially on a debate stage. I'm a serious woman. Got the hand gestures, and I've got these crazy policy ideas. Look at me. I'm not going to tell, a party's not going to tell me what my policy positions are going to be. I'm going to come up with them because I'm a woman. Yeah, I don't like it one bit. I would rather her just play on the field of ideas, what her policies are. But I think you're right. I the two step forward, two step back thing is so funny to me, because as a writer at Red State, I write about her frequently. And two days ago, I started off with an article that was like, she has got the wind at her back because Tim Scott drops out. She benefits from it. People are going to swing towards her. She's got big, deep pockets that are talking with her about supporting her. Like, I was like, she's spending money in Iowa to beat DeSantis so that she can take second place behind Trump. Like, I was like, she's got the wind at her back. And literally, like, 3 hours later, she comes out and says this thing that you're going to talk about social media. And I was like, damn, in 3 hour space, I went from, boy, she's got the wind at her back, to dang, I think she's killed herself. I think this is it for her candidacy.
Well, the question is, how important is this issue with voters? And I can understand why many people would think, well, this really doesn't matter to me. So Nikki Haley made some statements, and the AP has the story. She walks back from her demand that social media ban anonymous posters after facing GOP backlash. Now, Terry and I have both been, I don't even know what I want to call this. You know, we say the movement, but who even knows what the movement is anymore? But we both broke in during the Tea Party, really the birth of the Tea Party. You know, yeah. I brought up Smart Girl Politics. For those who don't know what Smart Girl Politics is, Terry, can you give people a 30-second explanation of what it was?
Yeah, it was really just an organization to gather conservative women together so they had a network, so they didn't feel like they were alone. And then we started to really encourage them to become active, whether it was through the Tea Party, running for office, and just kind of providing training and social opportunities to get to know each other. Basically, right after Sarah Palin came on the scene, we figured this does not look like there's a whole lot of support for conservative women out there. So that's really what it was, just to get conservative women active.
So this was at basically the birth of the Tea Party. That's
right before it. Yeah. So we were right there ready to help when it was beginning.
Right. And I kind of jumped in during the Tea Party days, and I started as a blogger, named my blog 1 Hour Martinizing. Seemed to be a good idea at the time to call it 1 Hour Martinizing, but apparently some people frown on that, particularly the people who own 1 Hour Martinizing. But my name was Fingers Malloy back then, and it still is to this day. But this may surprise some people out there. Fingers is not my real name. So I look at this as someone who has been in content creation, whether it was, you know, writing for the Washington Times or blogging, or, you know, now I'm doing this radio show, and I'm also doing the Eat, Drink, Smoke radio program, which is nationally syndicated. We're on 60 radio stations now. And I want to stay being Fingers Malloy because there are a lot of crazy people out there. And as someone who has seen friends repeatedly get doxxed, and what, if you're not familiar with what doxxing is, that's when someone gets a hold of your address and either prints it publicly for everyone to see on social media, or even worse, calls the police and pretends to be you saying, and we have friends that has had this has happened to.
Oh, yeah.
So I've killed my wife and I'm in my house right now with a gun. And then all of a sudden the SWAT team shows up. That's actually called swatting, now that I think about it, but it's still the same thing. But much worse, obviously, than just, you know, reporting someone's real name and address.
Well, the goal of doxing is to make something bad happen to you at your house.
Yes.
That is the goal.
Or at the very least, maybe not feel or have something bad happen to your house, but make you feel threatened to make you shut up.
Yeah.
And so then you have Nikki Haley coming out and saying, listen, this is a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that veil over. Well, it's national security. We'll get rid of the Chinese bots on social media. We'll get rid of the Facebook, Twitter bot. Oh, excuse me. X. Mm-hmm, the X bots. Mm-hmm. And we really need to do this. And then on top of it, we'll have a more civil society because people aren't hiding behind fake names and saying these awful things on social media, which I personally, Terry, find hilarious because I really don't see much of a difference between people using fake names and real names when it comes to being uncivil on social media. You see it all the time with people using their real name because at the end of the day, they're very comfortable in their home being hateful because they're in their home and they're just putting it on their computer. But this to say that the other thing too that I found funny about this, she said the first thing I'm going to do when I'm in office.
Exactly. And I did write about this actually at Red State. I write a lot about Nikki Haley. So she was at a town hall sort of situation with Fox News. And the woman who asked the question was asking about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Like, what can we do? You know, I'm a Jewish woman. I'm really scared. And this somehow snowballed into Nikki Haley saying that the first two things she's going to do when she gets into office are these two things that you mentioned. Get rid of the Russian and the Chinese bots. And then anybody that has an anonymous Twitter account has to get it verified, which isn't free. You pay to get verified on a lot of these platforms. And then we have to know, because you're not going to say what you like, to your point, you won't say those mean things if you're attached, your name's right to it. And I mean, it is just, it's bizarro world at the very least that anonymity is something that we're going to do away with, that is no longer a right under President Nikki Haley. That's insane.
Yeah. And of course, you know, other Republican candidates came out and slammed her position. You also had conservatives on, social media that are either, you know, I know Dana Loesch said something about mm-hmm. this, and I'm not going to go into all the comments from all of the
Can
candidates.
I make one more point?
Oh, which absolutely.
Was, I thought please. Very interesting. The day before Nikki Haley made this comment, New York Governor Kathy Hochul had announced some sort of initiative, a sort of cybersecurity crime initiative in New York State, where they're going to be collecting basically what Nikki Haley wants to do. They're going to have monitor social media. They're going to figure out who these people are and who's inciting the hate. And they're going to be monitoring that. So it's like, nice job, Nikki. Like, you just basically parroted Kathy Hochul, who is an extremely left Democrat, and you're not distinguishing yourself from her, and that's a bad look. And I don't know if this was a spur of the moment thing that she thought was going to be a great answer, or if she actually practiced it. It was a misstep.
I think that she actually did practice it, and because I think that her campaign and her messaging, it has been very calculated, and that's one of the things I don't like about her. I don't like when I look at a candidate, and I know they all do it, but everything seems focus grouped. And, you know, you got 20 advisors telling you what you should be saying. It felt very processed to me because it sounds wonderful.
Right.
It sounds wonderful, right? Oh, you know what? Wouldn't it be much more civil on social media if there aren't anonymous accounts out there? And that sounds wonderful. And maybe some older primary voters who think that we are less civil and maybe don't understand social media as much as younger voters do would say, you know what, that Nikki Haley has a point. But
well, I mean, is it even constitutional what she wants to do? There is a, you know, there's the First Amendment rights to free speech. And I mean, I think anonymity comes with that. And as many people pointed out, like our founding fathers, they were quite anonymous in what they were doing because doxing existed back then. You know, nobody wants to have their family harassed or lose their job or anything like that. So it's like, this is a bad, bad, bad decision to have gone down that road.
Well, and it's like with Joe Biden focusing on junk fees that say Ticketmaster and other companies throw on when you're purchasing concert tickets or if it's airlines or whatever, you know, these fees that they're adding on to your bill. It's like, okay, that's an annoyance. And I feel like there could be some public shaming about this sort of thing, but I don't want the president of the United States butting in on this stuff, because when it comes to the junk fees, these companies are going to find a way to make their money. And if they can't use fees one way, they'll figure out another way to get their money out of you.
Was this his attempt to sing that he's down with the kids because the kids are going to concerts and look how cool Joe Biden, 500-year-old Joe Biden is. He's going to make those concerts cheaper for you, and you're not going to have to pay for college.
Yeah, exactly. But this right here.
Yeah.
the idea that this is the first thing I'm going to do when I get in. Well, I'm going in the grocery store and I'm paying way too much for a dozen eggs and a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. And I'm looking at President Haley going, oh, thank God you're going after these anonymous accounts. That's the first.
One of the
first things I'm going to do when I become president of the United States. And if these private companies decide that this is the path, this is what they want to do, that's fine. But they don't need the federal government butting their noses in and saying, this is what we need to do to social media to make it more civil. Well, she backtracked, Tara.
Oh, yeah, of course. But not enough.
No,
not nearly enough.
And it was clearly she backtracked because she knew that she stepped in it. Because what she's saying is dishonest. If you see the two clips, she was very focused on civility and didn't want people having anonymous accounts because it has made an angrier society. I'm paraphrasing. Well, she was asked on CNBC if she still stood by this. And she said, I don't mind anonymous American people having free speech.
Mighty big of her.
Yeah.
Mighty big of her.
So we need to thank her for that she doesn't mind that. We don't want to disappoint Nikki Haley. But what I don't like is anonymous Russians and Chinese and Iranians having free speech.
Okay.
So she said that's what she would recommend that social media companies do, parse those users. And honestly, it's like, well, that's not what you said. You did say that.
Yeah.
Half of your focus was on regular Americans who were just getting on social media and maybe not using their real names.
But what about us? Those of us that use our real names, which now I feel stupid for having done for 15 years. I remember making decision. Yes, I am going to come out from being anonymous and I'm going to become me. Now I'm like, do I get a credit? Do I get a tax credit for using my own name? Do I hey, I should get something if you anonymous people.
Well,
I did it the right way.
There are real problems on social media. The latest thing that was happening on TikTok, which is really, if you would have said to me a month ago that we would see the kind of anti-Semitism on college campuses that we have seen. Listen, I'm not shocked.
No,
that it's there. But the amount it's a lot worse than I thought it was. To see people be so open in their hatred of Jewish people, gas the Jews, you're seeing people chant and, you know, from the river to the sea, and all that other stuff. To go from that to seeing this trend on TikTok where people were actually saying, that maybe Osama bin Laden had a point when he wrote his letter to America after the 9/11 attacks, you know, for his justification. He laid out the reasons why. And there were several videos on TikTok claiming, hey, I read the letter written by Osama bin Laden. And I got to tell you, man, you may have some points there. It's like, good Lord. And it mostly looked like it was from people who were born, of course, after September 11th.
Women. And it's women. That is, I mean, I know that that's not really what we're talking about, but when we're talking about these, you know, people ripping down the posters of the Israeli hostages, the ones that are out there chanting, it's being led by women. And that's what was on TikTok yesterday, I think it was, or, you know, earlier in the week. They were the ones that were like glowing reviews of Osama bin Laden. And there's no, I think Dana Lash said it on, you know, maybe Megyn Kelly, one of those two great women said, it's a parenting failure. This is a massive parenting failure that we would let it get to this point. And it's not that long ago, 2001 to me is not that long ago I was thinking World War II wasn't that long ago that we would be this quick to get back into let's gas the Jews. 2001 is like recent history. So this is appalling behavior. And these women are so stupid. They're just so dumb. I mean, what's next? Like glowing book reports from Mein Kampf. What is going to be next?
Well, the hashtag Letter to America on TikTok had accrued more than 10 million views by Thursday before TikTok started blocking searches for it. You
do
said
we
it's
want
a failure.
That? I mean, I don't even know. Do we want that block? I just don't know.
You said it's a failure of parenting, and I agree, but it's also another free advertisement for homeschooling because we have generations now of kids that were brought up to hate mm-hmm. America, to hate the West. And the idea that a lot of these women would side with Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
But did they read his position on the patriarchy?
No, they did not.
Did they know anything about his position on the LGBTQ element? It wasn't called that back then. But gays and having a religious state, it's just amazing to me who these people hate the West and hate America so much.
Yes.
Who they want to align themselves with. It's stunning when you see the Queers for Palestine people marching. And
there was earlier last week, there was a brief clip that was going around on social media of some sort of pro-Palestine march in Turkey, and a queer for, a gay person for Palestine showed up, and he was yanked out of the crowd. He was pulled up around the stairs and gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And God knows what happened to him. It's like, yeah, maybe pay a little bit more attention to that and not so much to Osama bin Laden. But you're right. They're just trying to, anything that will affirm what they believe to be true about America, which is 100% false, is what they're going with. And, homeschooling is booming after the pandemic. And I think that these chickadees on TikTok are going to really help a lot of American parents decide that I don't want my kid to be that idiot on TikTok.
And the other issue is that these kids today in their rock music.
That's right.
But kids looking for something to do when they graduate from high school and they get into college, they want to be content creators. They want to be YouTube
there are classes.
Stars.
I think in the UK there's a degree in influencing now. I'm like, oh boy, oh
yeah.
Boy.
And so, but the Queers for Palestine thing really kills me because, like you said, go to one of these rallies and try to yell, "We're queer. We're here, get used to it." And you won't even get your used to it out of your face before you're yanked out of there.
First of all, if you're a lesbian, they're not going to let you march with them in Palestine. Like you're not, you wouldn't be allowed to march. You're not going to be out there, honey. You're not going to be there. And if you are, you're going to be hauled away and probably not a good thing happening to you.
No. What is a good thing is Let's Go Barbecue. Let's Go Barbecue, the book written by myself, along with Tony Katz, the co-host of Eat, Drink, Smoke. If you want to know, if you want recipes on barbecue, the differences between grills, all that sort of thing, makes a great Christmas gift. You can find Let's Go Barbecue over at Amazon.com. Makes a great Christmas gift. Makes a great Thanksgiving gift. Yeah. Think about
that.
Will
you be barbecuing your turkey?
I
think you have other plans on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Fingers Molly Sr. will be here at the homestead here, and we are going to we're going to smoke a brisket. So that's going to be Thanksgiving.
Just like the pilgrims did.
Exactly. More of the Snark Factor coming up next. Wham Talk Radio. You've heard it several times, and by several times, maybe you've only heard it once. I'm going to vote the bums out. That's what I'm going to do. Well, one township outside of Grand Rapids did just that. Welcome back to the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Follow me on X. At Fingers Malloy. Follow Terry on X. At Terry Kristoff. Spell Terry Kristoff for the kids.
E-E-R-I-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H.
Terry with an I, like Terry Garr.
It is like Terry Garr. Yep. Terry Hatcher also.
Find all things Snark Factor on my website, fingersmalloy.com, where you can also get the Eat, Drink, Smoke radio program, the podcast, where we were, you know, like I said, 60 stations all over the country. You can hear Tony Katz and I talk about cigars, bourbon, lifestyle, parenting, you name it. You can find it at Eat, Drink, Smoke. It's not just cigars. It's not just bourbon, but you can find it on your favorite podcast platform or at fingersmalloy.com and then also Facebook, facebook.com/fingersmalloyradio. So here's the deal. So there's this charter township outside of Grand Rapids. Terry wrote about it. Terry Kristoff filling in for Sarah Smith, Red State contributor. She wrote at Red State about this. The folks, Bill O'Reilly calls them the folks, apparently went to the polling places and voted everyone out of town government. Is that what happened?
That is what what's happening. And I don't know Michigan as well as you do, but Green Charter Township, from what I could tell, is a very rural, up maybe towards the Upper Peninsula. You tell me. It looks like it's about an hour.
If it's outside of Grand Rapids.
It's about an hour north of Grand Rapids, I think.
So you're, you know, middle of the mitten. If it's an hour.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. But they were, I guess it's a very rural community. And there was talk of bringing in a plant that has some Chinese, some ties to the Communist Party of China. And the people there were not happy. And it was an all Republican town council that was making the decisions. And the people were very vocal. We don't want this. We don't want this. They don't want this. I mean, good American people, it sounds like, up there that just didn't want that kind of influence, the Chinese influence in their area, even though it was going to bring a lot of money. And it sounded like it was multi-billion dollar deal that it could have been brought in. But because the council didn't listen to the citizens on election day, November, what was it, just last week, 8th, 7th, they voted everybody out. They voted everybody out and they locked the doors on the government building so they couldn't get back in. They elected a whole new. Everybody got voted out and they brought in new people and none of them had a party affiliation. So they got rid of every Republican, all the Republican, the entire board that was Republican, and they brought in new people who had most of them had zero political experience and they did not have a party affiliation. They just didn't want this plant in their town and they didn't like that the elected officials that preceded them didn't listen to them. And how often do you hear such a great story? Because that's how it's supposed to work, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's wonderful. The whole I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That takes it to a whole new level when you've got people that really are committed to taking it a step further, just not running to social media with an anonymous account and disappointing Nikki Haley to complain about local government. They're like, these people out, I'm going to run for office to get these people out of office to be able to make sure that this Chinese facility will not be anywhere near our town.
Be some sort of mining of something to do with like electric vehicles, and I don't know all the logistics.
EV plant they make batteries?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Battery plant. Yeah,
Chinese battery plant. And they were going to bring a lot of money to that community, but these guys. So tell me, I don't know. I don't know as much about Michigan as you know. Like, does this surprise you from what you know about people from Michigan? It's very rare that you see a community come together and just vote against a bunch of money coming into your town, which let's face it, the economy is not great right now for a lot of people. A lot of people probably could have used those jobs. Now, it probably, in addition to bringing this Chinese influence in, and not just China, the Communist Party of China, You know, it would have brought a lot of new people in, I'm assuming, to their small town, just to staff the facility. So there's probably a few different aspects of it. But when they talk to people, when the media talked to locals, it was really all about the connection to the Communist Party of China.
I was like,
who are these people? These are great people.
So the name of the company is Goshen.
Yes.
It's a $2.3 billion EV plant.
Yes.
The parent company is based in China. And of course, if you're based in China, you're going to have links to the country's Communist Party. This project it's backed by Volkswagen, you know, which has operations in Germany, as you state in your piece at Red State. No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I also think that there probably was an issue about how many outsiders from different parts of the country are going to move here and the development it's going to create.
Right.
We just like our small town living and it's going to create a big headache for us. But there's no doubt in my mind that sure, the idea that this Chinese company was going to come in and, you know, people don't want that. They don't want the Chi-Coms to be involved
exactly
in their area. So no, hats off to them, because there's so much going on in the state of Michigan right now when it comes to the automotive industry and the transition from ICE vehicles, internal combustion engine, to EVs. There's a lot of uncertainty. That's why you saw the strike by the United Auto Workers, you know, striking the big three all at the same time, which is something that has never happened before. By the way, it appears as though all three companies will have a ratified contract with the United Auto Workers. But there's a lot of angst, you know, amongst auto workers. I know people who are outside of the auto industry, when they heard the numbers for this contract, were saying, oh, my goodness, This is outstanding, and the raise is great, and it is. It really is. And a lot of people who weren't necessarily working at the main factories, but were, you know, either temps or two-tier workers, they're getting a huge raise. But there are a lot of people who work at these automotive manufacturers who work building engines and transmissions that will not be in EVs.
Right.
So there's a lot of uncertainty within the workforce of these companies as far as, okay, what's going to happen to our jobs 10 years from now if these government mandates go through? I mean, California is talking, 2032, I think.
Oh, it's soon, yeah.
It's very soon, and ridiculous, by the way, every vehicle...
Nikki Haley will take care of it, though, I'm sure.
The first thing after the social media thing will be this.
Yeah, right there.
I got to tell you, as someone who has been, you know, I'm originally from Saginaw, Michigan, and there were a lot of GM plants in Saginaw when I was growing up, and now there's only one left, a little foundry. I think there must have been 30,000 people working for General Motors at one time in Saginaw, and to see less than maybe 500 working there now. I understand the mentality of people who work for these companies. I also understand people who don't work for these companies don't understand. They see the stereotype of the 1970s auto worker, where they think
he's,
you know, sleep off a good high or day at the bar in the plant, at the plant, sleeping and all this. But I got to tell you, I understand they're concerned, because so much of what is going on is unreasonable government bureaucracy and politicians who have no idea what it's like to build a vehicle, telling an industry that they have to switch over to battery vehicles, which, by the way, the consumer doesn't want. I mean, the rich, very, very, very rich Tesla driver, they're looking for the new gadget Tesla. But
of course,
you know, a woman, a single mom in California isn't looking to buy a $32,000 EV. Can't afford it. They want to be able to buy a used car that gets them back and forth to work. But government bureaucrats are forcing a lot of this down companies' throats.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if this becomes a bigger issue in the presidential race, because Joe Biden has a lot invested, as I noted in the article, you know, in things like this happening. So people think that this could be like a warning shot to him that maybe not ever all Americans are on board with this whole thing. And that's one level of it. And the other level is how much access to America are we going to give China? Because right. someone like Ron DeSantis signed legislation where Chinese companies cannot purchase land in the state of Florida. And it sounds to me like that's a little bit of what was going on there in Michigan, is we don't want our land taken over by this foreign agent. So I hope that the people of this town are serving as an example, and it becomes an issue during the presidential election, especially when Biden is going to have to answer for it. That, you know, why are we having to go to these electric vehicles, number one, and why should we let these Chinese companies into our communities when we don't know, you know, who are they going to bring into our community? What are the repercussions of having them here?
Yeah.
Besides, obviously, there's going to be an economic advantage, and it's probably hard to turn that down. But what are the repercussions? So
right.
I thought it was a great story, because I'm like, you know, it seems like, oh, just little small town America doing some big thing like that. But it's really interesting what they did.
Well, and it goes back to all politics is local.
Yeah.
And to be able to affect change in your everyday life, boy, talk about doing it on a local level, voting everyone out and making sure that a $2.3 billion plant isn't built.
It's going to be like the next Norma Rae movie, right? Like Netflix is going to make a movie, right? Like a mini series. And we're going to, because like, it sounds great to me, because there's a bunch of inexperienced people that probably never wanted to be political that now are holding office. And they, you know, this is a pretty big deal, this huge deal with a Chinese company. That's yeah. like, that's good stuff, man. I'd watch it.
Yeah. And, you know, prices are going up on vehicles because of this transition to electric vehicles, and companies are using their resources that, you know, they're profiting from internal combustion engines to, you know, invest in what's supposedly the future. But honestly, I would love to see if they're going to do anything, invest more in hybrid vehicles than this. But, you know, prices have gone up on cars. Also, everything else. But now the media, the media is trying to spin that we're now starting to maybe hit a deflationary cycle. Yeah. And so CNBC had the story about how year over year prices for certain items have gone down, and some actually quite a bit. Eggs are down 22%. And they were in October 23 over October 22. Fuel oil down 21%. Utility like piped gas service is down 16%. Gas is down almost 6%. And they're saying, isn't this great?
I'm not feeling that. Yeah. That's not showing up in my bank account.
We're in a deflationary cycle,
sure,
is what they're trying
are.
To say. But bottom line is, we're talking about prices from October 2022, which were ridiculously high.
Right.
So while maybe some of these prices have dropped a little bit, in some cases, like, oh, big deal. Cheese is down 2%, Terry.
Why was it ever up is my question. As you were reading it, it makes me think about, you know, Kohl's department store. They have these great sales where like you're getting 80% off the price, but they've already jacked it up so high that you're really not getting any sort of discount whatsoever. And that's what it feels like. They, you know, the things were just jacked up sky high that were, you know, it's not cheap. But my kids are like, man, it's only like $3.64 for a gallon of gas. I'm like, no, they're like, it's really come down. No, it hasn't. It's just less high. It's
yeah.
still high. It's just less high.
But televisions are down 9%. Used cars are starting to come down a little bit, down 7%. But when the
but
bar
they
was
were insane, right? Yeah. Getting a new car was far cheaper than getting a used car for a while. I don't know. It's I couldn't really understand why that was.
So
Other than new cars were very hard to find.
No, this is crazy. So I bought a Chevy Volt used. And before everybody starts hammering me, I bought it because I, you know, one of the 20 gigs I have the ability to charge this car for free. So the Chevy Volt, if you're not familiar with it, you can get 53 miles on a charge, and then it will switch over if you want to burn gas. It's got like a 7.5 gallon gas tank. So I bought it used.
And you bought it like the best timing ever before everything went insane.
Yeah, I bought it in 2020 and flew down to Tucson, Arizona to buy it because people were only buying Volts in Southern California and Michigan.
Makes sense.
And so I flew to Tucson, got a cheap ticket and drove it back. It had 24,000 miles on it. It was 3 years old when I bought it. I have since put over 80,000 miles on this car.
Whoa!
In 3 years.
Wow.
I looked the other day and I can sell that vehicle for more than what I paid for it 3 years ago because used car prices are absolutely insane.
Yeah. It's I read somewhere that the cheapest new car you can get is 20,000. There's nothing under 20,000 for a new car anymore. And that's just blew my mind that was.
And that was before all the UAW contracts went through.
Yeah,
and the prices are going to go up, you know, even more. And then on top of it, all of the transplant manufacturers, you know, Toyota and I believe Honda, but I know for sure Toyota already announced they're matching the raises practically of what the UAW got in their contract because they don't want the UAW organizing, you know, at Kia Toyota and stuff like that. So the prices are going to go up even more, but they had gone up before these people were getting raises. I think a new car was up 30% over the past 4 years or something. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Because of the supply chain issues and all the other, you know, inflationary pressures.
What about, I mean, you're talking about like how the media is kind of, you know, as they do, they carry the water for the Democrats and for Biden and all these rising prices. Is the traditional, like, your Thanksgiving dinner is going to be this much cheaper this year because of deflation. Are those stories creeping up? I haven't seen that yet.
I wouldn't be surprised because you look at, the CNBC piece that I was just referring to. You go over the list. Eggs are down 22%.
Butters were up, man. Woo, they were expensive.
Butter is down almost 4%. Fresh fish and seafood down almost 4%.
Yeah, but these are small percent. I mean, I guess every little bit helps. So I'm not going to say, you know, we can't celebrate that's the thing. But like we were talking about, when it was already jacked up, 4% is not, it's not back to where it used to be. It's not going back to that price that we're used to paying.
But I just don't think if these stories start coming out about the average cost for a Thanksgiving dinner this year, I think that you're going to see it's not going to be a huge increase from last year because of, you know, the list of the staples, you know, eggs, butter, milk, fresh vegetables.
Right, but compare it to five years ago.
Oh, compare it to 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane how much more expensive everything is. Well, you know, we're recording this show for broadcast on Sunday morning, the Sunday morning before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I hope everyone has a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving weekend.
Absolutely.
We got a story from the USA Today, and I'm very interested. You know, Terry is broadcasting not too far away from the swamp, much like Sarah Smith.
Yes, she's not far from me.
So the story was in the USA Today, your most searched Thanksgiving side dish, according to Google, in every state.
Oh, boy.
And so going over the list, first of all, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
I would say stuffing. I think turkey is the worst part of the Thanksgiving meal, but I think stuffing. Turkey's so terrible.
Our family does funeral potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We call them cheesy potatoes, but I guess other parts of the country call them funeral potatoes.
I believe that's true. Yes.
And that's basically it's cheese, hash brown potatoes. We use the cube potatoes. And then some people put crushed cornflakes on top. We do crushed potato chips, and it's like a potato casserole. And
it's
fantastic. I can
potatoes
make a whole meal.
Potatoes on potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing low carb I'm down 13 pounds in like 2 weeks. Yeah, it's great.
Don't eat that on Thanksgiving then.
No, I'm smoking a brisket.
Yes, that's awesome.
And it's a 14 pound brisket for two people, and my dad. So that should be great. But looking over the list, Michigan, it's sweet potato casserole, and I could see that.
Huh.
Like the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. You know, not a fan.
No.
So could you, I don't know if you have the story in front of you. If you do, don't
I
look.
Don't.
So
I haven't looked.
Terry lives in the state of Virginia. So what do you think Virginia's most searched Thanksgiving side is?
I know this isn't the answer, but we are famous in part of Virginia for ham. But I know that's not it. So no, it's a side dish.
It's a side dish.
Woo! We're not that southern, so it's not going to be like grits, black-eyed peas. Well, part of Virginia is southern, though. This is a hard one. Is it a vegetable? Is it a carbohydrate? No, well,
it's cornbread.
Oh, I love cornbread. But here's the big thing. Mm. In my part of Virginia, which is technically the South, but not really the South, we make it sugary. But apparently real southerners... Ours is basically cake. It's like a yellow, wonderful, delicious cake. But real Southerners do not put sugar in theirs, and it's just a dry, crumbly disaster. So as long as we're talking the sugary kind, we're good.
Lots of sweet potato casserole for, you know, like West Virginia, gratin potatoes, Vermont, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. roasted carrots. That sounds terrible.
That's lame. Oh, that's such a terrible one.
Many states, Rhode Island, South Dakota, with the green bean casserole. Do you do the green bean casserole?
Well, my sister used to make that, and it's never been popular because the green beans were cold. I don't know. I am a huge fan of those onions, though, that you put on top. Those are top notch.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the cream of mushroom soup. Never been a fan of that. So that's part of the green bean casserole.
That is definitely not everyone's favorite. Can I interrupt your food talk to remind you that my Washington Commanders will be playing on Thanksgiving Day? So I hope you'll be watching them get beat by Dallas.
Oh, it's going to be...
Oh, but your Detroit Lions will be playing, right?
My 7-2, soon to be 8-2 Detroit Lions this Sunday, they take on the Chicago Bears at Ford Field.
Do they not play on Thanksgiving?
And then on Thanksgiving, four days later, they play the evil Green Bay Packers, 12:30.
Evil but not good Green Bay Packers.
Which is fantastic. So they just beat the Los Angeles Chargers last Sunday in a thriller, 41-38. So they're playing three games in 11 days, which is something. So
wow. Yeah, so then
So these next two games, if they beat Chicago and then they beat Green Bay, they'll be 9-2 and staring at their first division title since 1993. And I couldn't be more thrilled.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. And
don't bet on Washington, though, against Dallas. Do not put money on that.
We're all rooting for Washington here in Michigan. Terry Kristoff. Find all of her work over at redstate.com. She writes 15 stories a day. And I am Fingers. Again, I wish you and your family a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey and pumpkin spice, whatever you're eating. And we'll be back next week with an all-new Sweat Factor. Go Lions! Wham Talk Radio.